another episode of Below the Dot Podcast, where we recap and discuss a new episode of Degrassi and the Next Generation every Throwback Thursday from the Degrassi Black Hole. I am your co-host, Terry McGregor.
And I'm your other host, Chris Sharp.
And today we are recapping Season 7, Episode 10, titled Past the Duchy. LOL. But before we get into that, we'll get into some trivia for Terry.
Okay, I have 5 questions for you this week.
Oh, we're ambitious this week.
I know. I must not have had anything going on at work, or maybe I had like a day off. I don't know when I did this. But at what temperature does Andrea take her latte?
90 degrees.
Good job, girl. What is the name of Andrea's previous assistant?
Is it David?
It is. Okay. Where is Peter?
Oh, girl, I have no clue. when do they mention him? It must be when Darcy is talking to Spinner or something.
Yeah, at some point in time, the question was, where's Peter? He's at his dad's yacht club. Is that a place?
Right.
Am I too broke to know where a yacht club is?
Well, that's not like... Right. Is that where they... it has to be a dock or something like that, too, right? Like, on the water?
Because the way I was going to ask, if that's like a country club, but I guess no.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's why I was like, it makes sense, but I was totally thinking country club. But the fact that it would be anywhere... That has to do with the yacht. Makes sense. Why is she not with him either? Like, I would be using that man for the perks.
So a yacht club is a mixture of people with specific recreational affinities, and the members often include those who... Look, I just need to know. Is it like a place where you all, like, dock your yachts?
Right. That's what would make sense to me. Or you all do boat-related activities?
Yacht or sailing clubs have either a marina or a delimited section of the beach or shoreline with buoys marking the areas or off-limits. So he's hanging out on a bunch of yachts. Well, do you ever jump off yachts into other, like, or do you just, I don't know.
I feel like people do. I think that is a rich people activity.
I was about to say, he was doing rich people things that I am too broke to know about. That's where Peter is.
Girl, yeah, I wouldn't have known that.
What is historiography?
The history of history.
Yes. How many times has Spinner failed in English?
Oh, okay. 2 times, because he's not trying to fail a third time.
Yes. Look at you, 80%.
Oh, that's so funny. Can you tell I watched the episode recently?
I can. I almost actually watched it today, but guess what? I had to work. And it was awful.
Girl, that's the only reason I remembered so much about the freaking plot B, because otherwise it's random stuff. But I literally watched it like a couple hours
honestly.
Ago.
Honestly.
After watching it yesterday, too.
I moved on, as you notice. I was texting you about episode 15.
Yeah. And
how our girl... Emma Nelson is embarrassing. I wonder, what is Emma's middle name? I bet it's something super common.
Elizabeth.
Is it?
Marie. No, I don't know. It just seems like it would be those. Emma Ann.
Let's see if she has a middle name. They just give her full name as Emma Nelson Mason.
Oh, LOL. I'm like, wait, what?
Right?
They're so annoying for that.
Let's see if they say anything online about her having a middle name.
Yeah. I do remember learning a while ago that she's named after the Emmy that they won for the show.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why she doesn't have a middle name.
Yeah, no, they don't give her a middle name. No, I'm just curious about everyone's. Anyway,
they would give Manny a middle name for sure.
Because you know she was the next one I looked up. Nope, right. She's just Manuela.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, actually, because Manny's a nickname.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, I guess we can get into it unless you had anything else you wanted to add for like tidbits or.
No, I don't think I had tidbits today. Yeah, no. The only thing I did want, I meant to text you because we were literally just talking about the Quiet on Set documentary that's on HBO Max and it's related to like Nickelodeon child stars. You know how they're doing like the Degrassi, like they're pretty much putting something together like to commemorate Degrassi and like have people share their stories. With that, it's just like, how different was Canadian child television in comparison to like the US child television? Because like the things that you hear now about Nickelodeon and Disney are so wild that I wonder if it would ever even be possible for someone to come out with something for like Canadian television or Degrassi specifically, because it was on for so long. Like, how does one maintain such a good or a squeaky clean image? But then I guess it traces back to the fact that they were actually like looking for children to play like these realistic roles versus like the industry of you can be on all that, right? But then hopefully one day you'll have your own TV show and be in movies and XYZ. And Degrassi was really just trying to have child actors act out real life things.
Right. It was a lot different. I think kind of their goals, which, and I think we've talked about this before. They were, I mean, for the fact that they also aired on a Nickelodeon-based network.
Right.
Clearly they were filmed Canadian and had different types of rules and regulations. One of the things they said in that documentary that we both watched, with the docuseries, whatever, was that, yeah, parents were required to be with you on set, but like parents are supposed to be at best seen and not heard, and really bestly not seen and not heard. Like there was a space for you to sit, and you did not want to be the parent to have concerns, because there were probably a lot of parents who did not have concerns, kids who had higher clout, who could get away with more things, and other kids who did not have the clout, who didn't have a potential. And also, even if you did have potential and you had an annoying parent, you very likely were not going to go anywhere, right? Like people, I mean, I don't, like kind of to what you were saying, the people who are on Degrassi, if you're just kind of on Degrassi because you want, because you're a good fit, but you're not really necessarily sold on joining the industry, then you're not really going to be as moved by being exploited. Like, I can just leave and you can actually get somebody else because you're not going to sit here and treat me like crap. Whereas if you want for your kid to be a star, you have to let them deal with crap to get there. And if you're on Nickelodeon, a Nickelodeon show or a Disney show, you're going to let your kids be treated like crap because you're convinced it's like the hazing they're supposed to go through to get somewhere.
Yeah, because you've seen other people's like trajectories on the show, so you know it's possible. So you're just going to shut up and let it happen.
Right. That is wild to me. I feel like if you have standards for your child's emotional well-being, you're just, you and your child are not going to last long because there's no way you're going to last in that setting. There's no way to, I don't think there's any way to safely have your child or to have safely had your child in those environments during that period. I can't speak towards to right now, but based off what they're talking about, they probably didn't improve.
No, I know. How could it? It's just such an interesting thing to think about because, like, Degrassi is so beloved and we, like, still talk about it so highly to this day. And the fact that, like, on the opposite side, they're coming out with something where people are telling, like, all these positive stories, assuming that's what it'll be. Obviously, it hasn't come out yet. But, like, even reading Homegirl's book is just, like, it seems like they were really working hard to, like, make it a TV show that was impactful and not just make a bunch of stars. Like, stars came out of it for sure, but I think that's all the difference.
And I mean, it's possible that they all just had signed NDAs, but I don't feel like anyone who was on the show has spoken negatively about it, except for even just like Andrea Lewis being like, I had to do my own hair. And that's standard, right. Not saying to dismiss it or anything. It's definitely crappy, but I personally haven't seen it. I'm sure that anyone who has, if you have seen it, feel free to correct me in our inbox. I'd love to get more information. But as a standard, it's like, you know, Disney stars be slandering Disney.
Yes, exactly. And like most people want to grow out of that, like whatever they played on Disney, or like, do not talk to me about that. Like they're not here for the nostalgia. Whereas like, I feel like the fact that people showed up to Drake's music video to be in like a reunion for Degrassi, you have feelings about it that are more strongly positive than negative. So,
and the fact that he filmed or like he used Degrassi as
right,
like, and he actually has referenced it in songs. Like, if it were to the point, I don't know, Disney and Nickelodeon stars distance themselves, Degrassi stars are like, yeah, I did it.
I did it, right? I was a part of that, and it's still a legacy. So just interesting to think about. It is a really wild documentary to watch. So if you're going to watch, proceed with warning for sure, because it can be triggering. But just interesting things. Because, again, we get on here every week and we talk about Degrassi because we are adults that still enjoy it. And, again, have no notion that it was a negative experience for people. So glad to be doing that versus, like, mm-hmm. something wild like Zoe 101 because, wow. But yeah. I guess that's technically my tidbit for this week, because the minute we're done with this, I'm literally going to finish the documentary.
Amazing. Me too. All right. So that we can finish quicker so we can go finish it.
Right.
We're opening with our plot B, and we are with Paige at her job, and she is essentially Andrea's bitch. Paige. It says that Paige inquires Andrea's last assistant, and that sentence doesn't make sense. But basically, she goes to ask her last assistant, I guess David, how long did it take you to get promoted? And he says, 4 years-ish. And Paige is like, you're funny, but it wasn't a joke.
At all. It's actually very realistic.
I was so confused as to what she was expecting.
Right. 6 months? Girl, please. You'll be there for 5 years if you let him.
I was so confused. Like, and you know, actually, I don't know anyone who expects quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm really trying to think. I think there's this idea that perhaps we would want better. I mean, we really just want a livable wage.
Yeah, that's it. But then when you think about an assistant job, it's kind of like, once you get so good at it, they're not going to want you to leave, obviously. And they're not going to want to have to find someone else because it takes a while to get to know the person and put up with their bullshit willingly. So that's where she's at.
Right. I was really confused by just her ridiculous standards for when she was going to elevate within this position. And I couldn't believe that she was asking this early. But, you know, it wouldn't be Paige Michael Chuck if she wasn't right. expecting the most with doing the least, which is exactly what happens next. Furthermore, obviously she's never seen The Devil Wears Prada. That man sat in that position for how long? And then he got passed over for a promotion. And he was just like, that's just how it works sometimes. She'll promote me when she's ready. And I was like, that's crazy. Paige clearly mm-hmm. didn't see that.
Nope.
So she is still busy being her bitch later when she watches Andrea be put in her place by Andrea's boss. He doesn't like the shoot results. And Andrea tries to protest, but then she changes her tune at a quick malicious glance from her boss. So Andrea's like, no, I think it's perfect. And her boss is like, bitch, but that's kind of the look he gives her. But Paige steps in and she's like, hey, I have an idea. And initially Andrea's like, that's stupid. But then her boss is like, actually, that's pretty amazing. And Andrea's like, oh, actually, I like it too. Now, anyone who ever works with people who love a good power trip knows that bosses do not like it when you step above your position and speak to those who are above them.
Mm-hmm.
Today, somebody was like, why don't you ask, you know, your lower tier boss for this answer. And they were like, if they don't give you the answer they like, go above them. I said, that's stupid. You got to go above them from the get-go. I'm not going to get your answer and then go above you when you piss me off, when you give me the wrong answer, because that's a good way to play myself. Because then if she tells them, I already gave her an answer, now he's mad at me because right. I went above her. I was like, no, we're not playing that game. I'll just go straight to him. And if he bumps me back to her, then that is what he did. But I said, I'm not going to go to her and then go to him when she gives me the answer I don't like, because then I look like an a-hole who just went above my boss.
Yeah, you're signing yourself up for like whatever the hell comes next with that, because they're going to literally be like, why would you do that?
Exactly. I used to be so mad when I would give someone an answer and they would go above me. It was so clear when I said it. But in this case, it's not like she gave Paige an answer and then Paige went above her. Paige just happened to speak up at a right. time when she probably shouldn't have spoken up. But, like, I mean, if you want to stand out and you want to get promoted, you do have to take risks. So she wasn't wrong. Just people are so power hungry that, mm-hmm. like, it didn't go over well with Andrea. Andrea tells Paige that she needs someone to fix her PDA and to act like it, not this girl in cheap shoes. And Paige is like, the cheap shoes remark was the last straw for me. And she leaves. Now, I have about three paragraphs left about what happens in this episode. And I don't think it even warrants that, because clearly nothing happened. But in true Paige fashion, she pretends like nothing's wrong and she prepares breakfast for Michael and Ellie. Instead of going to work, she invites them to the movies. Andrea calls just before the movie starts, but she ignores her. I also would ignore you if you called me on my off day, but I don't actually, I think Paige did a no call, no show.
She no call, no show. That's what I'm saying. Like, you couldn't at least call out.
Like, I'm very confused. Like, at least pretend you have the flu or pink eye.
Yeah. Cause girl, I mean, everybody needs a day off, but like, why do you think that just walking away and like not showing up to work is an excuse or enough reason?
It is the entitlement for me, girl.
Mm-hmm.
So Marco is like, Paige, maybe you should answer the phone. But I, again, like I said, I was with Paige on this one. You are allowed to have you're allowed to have a day free from work obligations. But as you just said, you should follow protocol when taking that day off.
Right.
Paige thought about going to work the next day, but instead she decided to go shopping.
Girl.
Marco and Ellie are not here for fun, employed Paige, and neither am I. I was very confused.
Because they're like, girl, we actually have stuff to do, and you do too. Like,
and Marco's like, think about it this way. 4 years of Andrea or 4 years at university? Which one propels you further? And that was very good advice, in my opinion.
Right? I thought so too. Like,
you were going to go to college for 4 years, and now you're not. And you're telling me that 4 years with Andrea is too long?
Right. In a field, again, you're lucky enough to be in a field that you actually want to work in. Like, granted, you don't want to be someone's assistant, but you're working in what, like a fashion field of some sorts. Like, that's not easy to get into. And not necessarily will you get projected into that field once you graduate with a degree. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you got to get in where you fit in and then move on up. So 4 years doing something I actually enjoy versus 4 years of random ass prerequisites and like all these other classes when she clearly was having a meltdown over it. Doesn't sound so bad to me.
It really doesn't make any sense. Like, do you love it or do you love it? And I feel like if you love it, then you're okay doing the investment. As someone who used to work in a very high intensity mental health setting, it was like, this is pretty terrible, but this is putting me in the right direction that I want to go in.
Right.
And it's way better. Like, I lasted like maybe 4 weeks working as a server. And so it was like, what am I doing here? What is this doing for me? And what, I don't like it. It's a terrible job. I hate the customers. Y'all are entitled as hell. And because I'm also not good at it, and I have no motivation to be good at it, because this is not where I want to go. But when you're doing something you enjoy, you want to get better at it. So you should kind of be invested, even if they're treating you like shit.
Yeah. Paige is also so type A that an assistant role makes sense because you're someone that's going to look at every single detail. And once you figure out what works for her, you're going to come in and do it every day, like down to the what we're about to see with the latte. Like, you get it. You've perfected it. You're not going to mess it up. You're good at it.
Exactly. Like, I don't understand what was the problem here, except apparently Paige had this very unrealistic expectation that she was going to show up and get promoted in 6 days.
Right.
After Alex just screwed everything up for her like seven episodes ago.
Showed up to her job, had her wilding out. That is crazy. Also didn't do the thing she was supposed to because she didn't want to spend the company's money. Girl, bye.
what are you doing asking for a promotion when you just let that happen?
You are lucky to be here. That is so true.
So, as you mentioned, she does end up crawling back. She returns to Andrea and apologizes for her absence. David has just been screwing up her latte order. So as much as Andrea hated to admit it, she was grateful to have Paige's return. Paige is forgiven, but she better never make that mistake again.
I don't think she'll be here. Like, the Degrassi college plotline will be here long enough for her to make a mistake again. Or am I wrong?
I don't think so. I don't really. Yeah. I know nothing about these seasons, so I can't really tell you anything beyond 5 episodes from now.
I have no clue. Aside from they wanted to give, again, just a glimpse into what Paige is doing. Because homegirl just stayed at her job. Okay. That's what I was expecting her to do.
As she should have. All right. Anything else you want to touch on?
Oh, no. The only funny thing, though, was when Ellie was like, I actually don't really like you like that. When she was like, my two closest friends, Ellie and Marco, I was like, I don't really like you. And that was real.
I'm glad she said that because, I'm sorry, aside from ever, have they ever really been friends?
Girl, no, never.
Everyone just wanted to appreciate why my one friend, you guys might say that I'm terrible. My cats scratched me very terribly on my wrist. And I think you know this, because I feel like I sent you the picture and you were like, mm-hmm. Is he homeless now?
Right.
And one of my other friends messaged me and she was like, show me your arm. Show me your arm. And I was like, I appreciate that Degrassi reference from you.
I actually can't. Yeah, no, that's wild, though. Like, the cat gotta go, because what do you mean?
Girl, I'm looking at 5 scratches on my wrist right now, and so I crazy. Just, it hurts so bad.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Throw the whole cat away. Like, he literally just dug into my wrist and was like, you're not gonna push me off the bed. Mind you, and before people think I'm a terrible person, I did push him off the bed. He had been kneading my boob for like 45 minutes. And I was like, hey, I'm at my cap. I would like to have my boob back to myself. And he was like, no.
That's wild.
It was terrible. It was horrible. And that's your intermission for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for it? Part A?
Yes.
Spinner is enjoying a game of pool with Jimmy and Jane when Jay arrive. Oh my God. How many people with the names Jay? Jimmy, Jane, and Jay. Jay compliments Spinner on his new mullet. Spinner's wearing like a hat with attached hair and it does not look very good. But Jay really only shows up to be a menace, I feel. And I've said this so many times. Because once he finds out that Spinner has cancer, he's like, oh, well, you getting that medical marijuana, right?
Only to be a bad influence. That would only be Jay's first question.
That, of course it is. He's like, oh, good, you get that. And then Spinner's like, no, they don't prescribe medical marijuana to children. Which, actually, Spinner's not a child. He's like a fifth-time senior.
Right. I'm sure he's at over 18.
Hang on.
Well, maybe what were the laws before it was like legal everywhere? I don't know.
Let's find out. The Federal Cannabis Act allows Canadians 18 years of age and over to purchase and use cannabis. So, unsure of, hang on, how long has cannabis been legal in Canada? Okay. So, unsure about anything pertaining to what was going on in this year. Cannabis has been legalized in Canada since it looks like 2018 based off this based off a very brief Google search, so I could be mistaken. I assume they probably had medical marijuana at that time. Medical.
Right. That would make sense. I guess he still technically wouldn't be a kid, though. But
cannabis was originally prohibited in 1923 until regulated medical cannabis became legal on July 30th, 2001. Typically, I will say that, you know, of course, you might restrict who it is accessible to. However, as Spinner's classmates are all in their first year of college, that means that Spinner will be in his first year of college, so he should be 18 or 19 at this point in time, which means that he's technically not a child.
They really said that too, like it was casual, and I believed it until we broke it down just now. Like, oh, I guess that makes sense. He's a grown man.
So, I mean, maybe someone can come in and be like, no, you're not an adult in Canada until you're 25, but I don't think that's true. And so, anyway, girl, where'd you go?
My freaking headphones and my laptop are deciding to die at the same time, so I'm casually moving through room.
Okay, I was worried. I said, how are you still here? But it's because they're not dead yet. All right, okay, then I guess good. I'll keep it pushing while you get set back up. All right, so Jay the Menace has shown back up to be the devil on Spinner's shoulder. Of course he has the hookup. Spinner wants to go home because he has chemo in the morning, but Jane encourages Spinner to stay out as a means to keep his spirits up. I can't believe that Spinner actually goes to school the next day after he has chemo, but he does. He runs into Darcy, and Darcy's like, how are you doing? Brutal. It seems that he tried some anti-nausea medication, every anti-nausea medication available, and they make him drowsy, lazy, and loopy, which is funny because I feel like they're trying to set him up for the fact that weed has the exact same effect on him. But we're not there yet.
True.
In the here and now, though, Spinner walks in front of the class and he's giving his presentation, but he ends up vomiting instead and he's sent to the nurse. The nurse provides Spinner with medication, but he says it makes him sleep for days, so he doesn't want to take it. Miss H enters and she encourages Spinner to remain home during treatment, but the 6 weeks would prevent him from graduating. He insists that he'll be able to figure out how to manage his chemo in school, and then he sends Jay a text to say that he has a needs for weeds.
I missed that entirely. That is so funny.
I think I saw that text initially, so I knew it was coming through the Degrassi No Context Twitter. RIP, a real good era. Let me see if that even still exists. Degrassi No Context Twitter. I mean, I think they had done like three cycle throughs. So by this point in time, yeah, RIP. It was a good era. I can't see their anything updated because if you don't log in to not Twitter X, they don't let you see anything.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I was wondering because I almost sent you like that interview I was trying to. That I was telling you about earlier via Twitter, but I'm like, I feel like she's not on Twitter, so she's not going to get it.
I can get the links, but I can't search for accounts and then look at their stuff, even if they're public, unless I'm actually logged in. But I refuse to log in because I honestly really no reason. I'm just not there. And I said, I needed to put some of y'all to rest. And so I put Twitter to rest.
Yeah, no, you're not missing anything at all. Like, I go up there randomly, but there's nothing going on.
Sometimes I show up to check in and I'm like, I don't know why I'm here.
No one does. They've killed that app day by day. Like, it's not fun anymore. You know
what? Honestly, they kill so many of these apps by trying to force me to see what other people are doing. Like, stop trying to make other accounts happen. I don't want to know. I'm intentionally not following these accounts. Right. If I wanted to follow them, I would have followed them. You're not. And I always hate it because I like to make my social media experience not necessarily safe, but not full of idiots. So when I'm not following people accounts, it's because they or the people who were interact with them are stupid.
Yes, as hell. And they really do force it on you. Like, at this point, for Twitter, just make it when you can't follow anyone then if you're just going to show me shit I don't want to see. So
give me a reason. And then they love showing you, like, people commented on this or check out these mentions. I actually don't. I'm not. If I wanted to see it, I would. Facebook has started doing this thing, which is truly just a hell of an app or a platform, where people can now tag. I don't know what it was. I got notifications for people who were like promoting content. So they like at all of their people to give us notifications to then go look at the post. And it would be people who I have not worked for like 10 years. Why are we friends on Facebook? Now I just learned that I need to block you. And second of all, why are you bothering me? I don't want to like your Aunt Kathy's new drugstore.
They force it on Facebook. It really is like a hell of a place.
Like, stop asking me to like these things. Stop it. Stop it. Anyway, that had nothing to do with anything. Back to the here and now. Spinner doesn't want to fail again. He has a need for weeds. Then they dramatically show Spinner hacking up a lung after he smokes a joint and being very silly. He's in media immersion watching the video of the monkey sniffing his finger after scratching his butt. And in case you forgot, this video was seen in season 5, the season premiere. Remember when JT and Toby were laughing? And then Manny's like, oh my God, what are you guys looking at? And it was the monkey smelling his finger and passing out.
Oh, okay. I do kind of remember that vaguely. Not the viral video.
I'm really glad that I can just recognize that. Anyway, so Spinner has no idea what's going on, and he can't even answer Jimmy when Jimmy asks Spinner. He's like, are you high? And sometime later, Spinner runs into Jane in the hallway. Jane is like, you ignored my calls and my texts. And Spinner's like, ugh, I've just been in my own head. The ray of sunshine known as Jane tells Spinner that she's going to take him out in order to boost his spirits. I would probably want to fight her ass too. Stop trying to boost my spirits. Maybe I want to be miserable. I have cancer.
Right. It's just like, I don't expect Jane to know how to deal with this, right? Because it's not a common thing that you deal with. You're teenagers. You're in a new relationship, barely, if you'll call it that, before the end of this episode. But it's also like, I guess like teenage me would also be like, yo, you just need a distraction. Like, you want to do things that you were doing before you got this diagnosis. But also like, again, the fact that homeboy is showing up to school after chemo, which is like really, really intense, is also already too much. So like, it just warrants the conversation of like, what do you need right now? Like, not what I think you need, not what anyone else thinks you need. Like, do you need rest or do you want to do all these things, you know?
Yeah. And I've seen some things that it says that when people are going through things, one of the things that you should do is tell them what you're going to do, right? But I always like to defer to their autonomy and their boundaries. So like, hey, I could make you dinner for Friday, right? But if that's not something that you want me to do, please let me know if you have an alternative. I want to do something to help you, so I want to take you out. But if you don't want to go out and you'd rather just sit around eating Cheez-Its and that is not an ad, eating Cheez-Its and watching terrible television, then like, let's do that too. Here's what I can do, but I'm willing to do whatever you ask me to do within reason. But also, right, again, as you said, Jane is a high schooler, so I don't expect you to know that, and I'm not mad at her. She's doing the best she can with what she has.
Yeah, she's really just doing, I think, what anyone would do at that age in that scenario.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Darcy cozies up to Spinner at the dot with a mug of mint tea. She and Spinner are finding company in the misery of something when he suddenly hit with nausea, and he tells her that weed helps the nausea. So they go talk elsewhere. But he leaves his phone behind and ditches the ray of sunshine, Jane. Spinner is such an annoying representation of someone who smokes weed, because there is no way that Spinner went from sober to chronic user in a week.
Right. It was a very dramatic switch.
I go, okay. He shows up late to school. He pulls a cancer card, even though he missed the chem exam, as Jimmy reminds him. And Spinner says he knows all he needs to know about chemistry. THC. It is so cheesy. Jane is tired of Spinner's wishy-washy attitude toward her, and he tries to apologize by telling her that he got high and went to sleep, but he wants a rain check, and Jane isn't here for his excuse. But they still go to the pool hall, where Spinner is supposed to make it up to Jane, but he's entirely disengaged from the conversation, and it comes out that he's just a little bit high, which is why he isn't responding to her. He goes on a rant that Jane wants a lot out of him. She kind of does, because she's like, I want to go see a DJ. And he just wants to hang out and talk. And this is when I realize he's about to say something stupid. And he doesn't disappoint me.
Right. Because what comes after you trying to have a normal conversation? You're just going to throw something in someone's face.
So Spinner admits that he hung out with Darcy in the previous night and they had a great talk. Why is Penny mad? Oh, did I get a package? Let's see. Who's calling me? My mom called me. Hang on. Why does she always call me during this? Hang on. You're on speaker on Below the Dot. You're on speakerphone.
I was going to be on the phone last week. Why are you doing this to me?
Why do you always call when I'm recording for Below the Dot?
Oh, I know when you're recording.
It's 7:30 on a Tuesday. I'm always recording on Tuesday evenings.
Okay. I don't realize that it's not on my calendar.
I actually think last week we recorded on a Monday.
Below the Dot. I'm like, oh my God. I was literally on Below the Dot.
Anyway, you called at 7:33?
That's what I was calling for. You put me on Below the Dot. Well, I called on doing Below the Dot to tell you to complain because you put me on Below the Dot. Also, yes, an engineering degree is 5 years.
I mean, is it 5 years or like, did they take 5 years?
It's 5 years. It's like, wait a second, is it? No, that's pharmacy that's 5 years.
Yeah, pharmacy is 5 years. Engineering is not a 5-year degree. It's just people be taking 5 years. Anyway. Do you want to go enjoy the rest of my podcast so I can continue this one?
Oh my God. You're cruel.
I told you you were on the podcast when you picked up.
Why did you call me if I was on the podcast?
Because you called me and I wanted to make sure that you were alive. What if you were calling me? What if there was a robber in your house and you were calling me to let me know that you were being kidnapped or robbed? And I missed the call.
I'm already telling you, you could have texted.
How would I know it was you and not the robber or kidnapper responding?
Now you sound insane.
I'm going to get off the phone before you continue slandering me on air. Bye, Mom. Love you. Okay. So we can confirm that my mother's alive.
I love how she called to fact check and then she was like, actually, I don't know, but.
But also calling to be like, I can't believe you had me on your podcast and now I'm on your podcast again. Because I'm not taking that shit off.
She's a dedicated listener and I love her for that.
All right. I don't even remember where we were. We got interrupted by my dang dog. Also, I think the fun part about my mom saying my name, which is, of course, going to be censored out, whatever, is that she still said a name that y'all would never find me by because nobody calls me that.
Right.
Good luck. Even if I left it on the air, how are you going to find me?
You'll never find me. That's the best thing about having multiple aliases on the internet. Oh my
gosh. All right. I don't even know where we are. Spinner's doing his, he's doing his presentation with Ms. Kwan. And it's clear that he did not read the book. Ms. Kwan is tired of him, though, because she's like, you are making a mockery out of the whole class. And he's like, you know what? F this. He throws a book and he walks out. The entire time, Jane looks disgusted and Darcy looks mortified. And as Spinner leaves, he tells Ms. Kwan that he's going to go get high. So Darcy slips out through the back, unnoticed by everyone, except Jane. What you looking at? Who over there acting a fool?
This dog is howling like someone's trying to break in. But and now I'm like, is someone trying to break in? Because why are you barking so loud?
You see, you got to ask these questions.
They probably just get in the trash. That's all people do. They get the trash every day at the same time and she barks at them.
The nerve of them. Oh, I see that some of my travel things arrived and some of my other travel things are arriving tomorrow. Also, while we're on the subject, I'm traveling. Did I tell you we're recording next week on Wednesday?
I feel like I hope my mom calls me Wednesday too. It.
So when my mom listens to this, don't call me Wednesday night. I'm going to be recording. Yeah, because I won't be, I think I get back in town around like 7 on Tuesday.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
All right, let's carry on. Spinner is smoking and talking to Darcy, and she is clearly on a spiral. She tells him that it's not that big of a deal if he fails English, and when he realizes that this will be his third time, he's like, oh, dang. She's like, but if we're all in ruts, we can't get out of it, because life is a prison. And he's like, I might be messed up, but I'm not as messed up as you, because that was really depressing. So he tries to hurry back to Degrassi to apologize to Miss Kwan and get his life back in order, but then his bike falls on him and Darcy looks down at him and she's like, "And I thought I was a mess." Spinner is back in Miss H's good graces, and he agrees to stick to his prescribed medication only. He then tries to apologize to Jane, but she rightfully doesn't want to hear it. I guess he decides to stay at home until chemo is done, but he needs for Jane to bring his homework to him. Jane admits that Spinner hurt her feelings, and I just love how candid she is about her feelings. And Spinner tells Jane that he realized that introspection really sucks, and he also really likes her. And she says she likes him too, and they share a kiss, and the episode ends.
I think the funny thing about all that was, like, Spinner actually didn't like talking to Darcy because she started going down a rabbit hole and he was like, "Absolutely not, girl. Like, I actually don't want to talk to you and you're not being helpful anymore. So I'm going to go talk to Jane now."
I like it. Yeah, he actually needed his ray of sunshine.
I'm glad they were able to figure it out because they weren't going to make it. She was going to keep trying to make him go places and if he kept going to school during treatment, so.
I really like Spinner and Jane. I'm sad they had to ruin her and him, but, you know, it is what it is. I like them now. Also, my moral is that life is a prison.
That's a good moral. Yes, it is. I don't think I had one today. Nope. I got nothing. These people are nutty, so.
All right. That means that we can wrap it up then. Next on Degrassi. Marco is low on cash, and after meeting a friend who takes an interest in him, he considers doing something he never thought he would ever have to do. Mandy grows closer to Jay and concocts a sham engagement on the spot to keep her meddling parents at bay. That wraps this week's episode of Below the Dot Podcast. If you enjoyed your listen, please tell a friend to tell a friend. To hold you over between episodes, you can follow us on all these platforms, but I promise you I'm not there, under some derivative of the username Below the Dot. Feel free to reach out with any questions, comments, or concerns on either of our social media accounts or email us at whateverittakes385@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back on your airwaves this time next week, whatever it takes.